Welcome to Trailblazers, where we explore the inspiring journeys of entrepreneurs and industry leaders who are redefining success and making a lasting impact. These game changers are driving progress in our region and around the world. I'm Melody Bradford, your host. Easton is a city that has reinvented itself many times, and at the center of that evolution in recent years has been the Greater Easton Development Partnership, GEDP. Festivals, small business support, downtown revitalization, and community building, it all flows through this unique nonprofit that blends economic development with cultural vibrancy. Today on Trailblazers, I'm joined by Jared Mast, Executive Director of GEDP. Jared's path has taken him from Lafayette College to Cornell, from California back to the Lehigh Valley, and into a role where leadership, vision, and collaboration are the cornerstones of everything he does. He's helped position Easton as a model for downtown growth, community events, and business partnerships while carrying with him lessons from his father, Eddie Mast, a professional basketball player for the New York Knicks before becoming an entrepreneur. We'll explore Jared's leadership style, his journey into economic development, the impact of GEDP's work, and the values that drive him as a leader, a community builder, and as a son continuing a legacy of resilience and determination. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jared.
Thanks for having me, Melody.
Jared, for those who may not be familiar, can you walk us through what GEDP does for Easton and the wider Lehigh Valley and your role as the executive director there?
Sure. Greater Easton Development Partnership, GEDP for short, is a nonprofit focused on community and economic development for the city of Easton. We act as a very strong partner to the city, includes the mayor, city staff, members of council, on shared goals for the city around quality of life, investability, you know, resident needs, downtown tourism goals, all kinds of things. So this goes back, you know, its first iteration in the early 80s of launching what is now the Crayola Experience. Previously, it was Two Rivers Landing. And then in the early 2000s, there was an effort to pull partners together, develop a new strategy, a new plan to bring Easton back, if you will. So Lafayette was part of the team. The city was part of that team. GEDP was part of the team. The board rolled up its sleeves together with those partners, developed an economic development plan. And to a certain extent, we've been implementing that for the last 20 years. So current kind of iterations of that or programmatic investments that we have are the Easton Ambassadors Clean and Safe Team. We run the Easton Farmers Market and the Westward Market. We are the owner and operator of the Easton Public Market. We also run a variety of free events and programs throughout the year. So everything from PA Bacon Fest to Heritage Day to the Easton Criterium, the Easton Winter Village in partnership with the City of Easton. We have the Easton Main Street Initiative, which is focused on volunteerism and small business support and partnerships across town gown and, you know, the business community. We have the West Ward Community Initiative, which is a neighborhood-focused initiative in the West Ward of Easton. And we also have kind of one-off programs and support mechanisms in place for business that kind of support different neighborhoods. So something like a small business loan program. We respond during crisis to try and bring resources to the community, both in terms of the business community, but also, for instance, the Ferry Street Fire. We were a conduit for funding to help the families that were affected by that pretty large fire in the West Ward.
Listen, anybody that walks downtown Easton over and has walked through downtown Easton over the last 10, 15, 20 years, I mean, there has been quite an evolution down there. You guys are at kind of the heart of that. And it seems like block by block, and even, I mean, I know you guys had your hands in the Silk Mill as well, up on 13th Street. So, like, block by block, it's being revitalized in its own way. It's known for the festivals. It's known for the restaurant scene. I mean, it's just, it's so impressive what you guys have done. Through that evolution, how would you describe your leadership style and how it's evolved as you've guided GEDP through some of those growths and challenges that probably have presented themselves as you've, you know, come up against this cultural vibrancy, but also the revitalization and all it encompasses?
Yeah, so I actually re-engaged with the City of Easton and GEDP specifically when I was in grad school. It was actually specific to the Silk Mill Project, thinking about what Small Business Resource Center or what they call the think tank could look like. So just working with Gretchen Rice at the time, who eventually became my boss, looking at what that could be, trying to support the City of Easton's application for an EDA grant, which they ultimately received. And then as I was finishing up grad school, Gretchen was trying to tee up the Easton Public Market Project. So I came in as a contracted project manager to kind of look at feasibility, viability of that project. Was on, I think, a three-month contract to start. Ultimately, we moved forward with that project. Gretchen left on maternity leave, decided not to come back to her role with the city and GDP. And so I was put in interim director role at that time with the public market project, also kind of still in need of a lot of my attention. So I think that stretch is part of a lot of nonprofits. You know, most or a lot of smaller nonprofits are under-resourced. And so, you know, think about leadership is something you have to approach intentionally. And a lot of times you're just focused on doing the work in the day-to-day. So, you know, you have kind of ups and downs and peaks and valleys of work, and you try to, I think, focus on those things when you can, as opposed to just, you know, keeping the lights on or putting out fires. And I think more recently, I've been focusing on culture and team and doing the work together. You know, there's a proverb of if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So,
love,
you know,
that.
Looking
love
at
that.
The team and sharing a vision, I think one thing that underpins that, I mentioned the early economic development plan for the City of Easton, but more recently we have our board and staff and stakeholders have helped create a new strategic plan for the organization. So looking at that, sharing in the goals, trying to check back in on it regularly so that you know kind of where you're going and how you're performing against what should be kind of your North Star as an organization. I think there is intentionality around that. And then I'm a very serious person. You probably see it face to face and on camera here. But you know, I have also tried to be more approachable, lighten up, to find moments of levity and fun within the workday. You know, work is work, but you're spending a lot of time at work as an employee. And if it is just drudgery or it is miserable, you know, a big chunk of your life is miserable. So I have certain staff that nudge me along, you know, bringing the team together for events. I think there's also moments of reflection that can really help with that. You know, it's not just about iterating and getting better and better and better. Also some reflection and trying to appreciate the work that you're doing, trying to find moments of gratitude instead of just focusing on what's next. And that's something I personally struggle with, is just kind of like, let's keep going. And, you know, I think it's something that a lot of leaders probably do as well.
And, you know, you've been credited with a lot of the success of the revitalization that has happened down there. And GEDP has been recognized at both the state and local level for its work and perhaps beyond. What do these recognitions mean to you and your team? And what would you say has been GEDP's biggest impact on small businesses in Easton?
You know, recognition is always validating, I would say, both to leadership, the board, and to the team. It tells you that, you know, in your group of or your cohort of organizations doing similar work, that you're doing your work well, maybe in some cases the best, so to speak. You know, there's awards where we've been awarded the top performing Main Street program.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I think it reflects back on the commitment of the team. You know, we have people that are currently on staff, people that have been on staff that have worked really hard for Easton. People that have, you know, either a longstanding connection because they were born there, like myself, or folks that have come here and felt like Easton was their place, their home, and so want to work hard to make it better for their family and their neighbors. And also for visitors, you know, I think there's a certain aspect of hospitality that goes along with our work that, you know, we want people to come to Easton and we want to be proud of the experience they get. There were challenges around pride and the idea that Easton was a place to show off or to tell people you're from. Yeah. I went to Lafayette, and I think, you know, in the early 2000s, there were times where you might be a little embarrassed that you were a townie. I think that has flipped. I think people can be proud, both students, you know, 18-year-olds who are trying to figure out what their personal identity is, which is where I was at. But I think students who go to Lafayette now can show off their city and be proud of it. And you know, we're trying to work more closely with the college on that front to try and have shared goals actually articulated and then kind of work on them. It's not just clean and safe anymore. It's not just launching the Easton Ambassadors Program. It's what do we want student experience to look like? What do we want parents' experience to look like when they come and visit their kids? What do we want the alumni experience to be for reunions and football games? And how does that ultimately make Easton more competitive and also the college more competitive? There's a second part to that question, which I think I forgot.
No, I think you actually you covered most of it. I was asking about the impact on small businesses, but you made a point in your answer just now. You know, you lead a team, but you also coordinate with a consortium of businesses and other mm-hmm. partners and entities and stakeholders. How do you keep everyone aligned and working towards the same vision to make that impact for small businesses or visitors or whomever, you know, that target audience is?
I think it starts with communication and, you know, forums for communication. We try to make ourselves available mm-hmm. In different ways. So everything from quarterly business owner roundtables that the East at Main Street Initiative has organized over the years, something we're trying to do more in the West Ward. Our board is intentionally staffed, if you want to call it that, by members of the community that can essentially serve as my boss and so keep me in the loop as far as what's happening in the community at a small business level. We also have corporations on our board that can speak to the talent acquisition kind of goals of a given corporation, how Easton and the downtowns kind of fit into those strategies. I think a strategic planning process can also help you stay true to the community that you're trying to serve. So if you do a strategic planning process, it shouldn't just involve interviews with your staff and your board. It should, in at least for an organization like GDP, should involve interviews with elected officials, members of the community.
Business owners.
And once you have that, you can point back to it and say, we're working on the plan that you helped create. So actually, one of my, I would say, mentors that shared this kind of snippet is you plan the work and then you work the plan. So mm-hmm. it's another kind of maxim or aphorism that I think is helpful in trying to stay true to some kind of strategic goal or some kind of North Star.
Mm-hmm. Easton is known for its festivals. My goodness, Bacon Fest, Clam Jam, mm-hmm. Garlic Fest, even Heritage Day. What role do these events play in economic development, and what goes into launching and managing them successfully?
Yeah, so we throw a lot of parties at GDP. You know, everything from this past weekend's chili pepper eating contest at the farmers market, Easton Farmers Market, to the events that we run, the events that other business owners run. We at GDP run the Easton Criterium, which is a relatively young event, a bike race that brings international cyclists downtown on a closed course and on Memorial Day weekend every year. This will be our sixth year doing that event. We also do Heritage Day, which is a celebration of the reading of the Declaration of Independence in Easton back in 1776, which has a heightened level of importance this year going into the country's 250th and also Lafayette College's 200th anniversary.
Yes.
We organize, yes, PA Bacon Fest, the biggest event in Easton. And we also work with the city, organize the Easton Winter Village. Actually, outside entrepreneurs, for-profit businesses that kind of have figured out how to organize a festival that supports their business but also brings people to Easton. So Clam Jam is run by the owners of Third and Ferry, and Garlic Fest is actually run by the owner of the Quadrant Bookstore in mm-hmm. downtown Easton. So as for us, I mean, I think all these events go back to city strategy of we need to show off Easton in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, in the early 2000s, like I said, a lot of challenges with downtown, from crime to disinvestment to vacant properties and businesses that weren't receiving the support that they had historically seen. So, you know, alongside the Crayola experience and the visitation associated with Lafayette College and the State Theater, there was a push to bring people back regularly for special events. And the farmers market was definitely part of that. You know, so the farmers market every weekend is a gathering for the community, but we started to add more and more signature festival or fest days. Bacon Fest was actually born out of that. So it was a weekend in November, and Megan McBride and Nate from Breakaway Farms, I think, had a brainstorm. It was like, well, what if we do a weekend or a day focused on bacon? And that's how we got to Bacon Fest. It was an outgrowth of the Easton Farmers Market. And unlike Apple Jam or Peach Day or some of these smaller thematic events at the farmers market, just blew up. So we kind of rode a wave, and that led us into kind of more serious festival planning as an organization. So we subsequently adopted Heritage Day right before the pandemic. So that was weird, you know, trying to host in-person readings of the Declaration of Independence and the reenactors that we engage, but doing it virtually, which we had no real expertise in. But we jumped in, tried to make the best of it. And then the bike race was, there had been local cyclists who've talked about a bike race in Easton for 20 years. And we had a partner from Tour of Somerville come over, or another Lafayette alum, and said, hey, you can be part of our weekend if you guys figure out how to raise money to do that event. So that was another thing we said yes to. And then the Winter Village was also kind of born during the pandemic period, but actually in response to the pandemic. People couldn't shop as much inside, or there were prohibitions on shopping inside. So we said, let's do an outdoor village. And we're actually trying to kind of reboot that. And instead of it being, you know, focused on simply outdoor shopping, it's more about how does the Winter Village support the other small business goals of the downtown, the goals of the restaurants, and how do you have a more integrated kind of shopping experience during the holiday time, as opposed to something that was just kind of focused on we need to be outside. Special events are super tough. You know, I talked about the peaks and valleys of kind of the workload. Festivals push that to its limits. You know, if you have a small staff and an event grows and grows and grows, it's a huge weekend for a small group. And so that's where volunteers come in. You know, we couldn't do what we do without a huge contribution from our volunteers who, you know, some of them are volunteering every weekend. Some of them are just volunteering for Bacon Fest. And all of that's positive in terms of getting the work done. But
and engagement, too.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So beyond the festivals, GEDP has led campaigns. You spoke a little bit about that shape Easton's image and growth. What's been one campaign you're particularly proud of?
You know, I don't want to focus on the pandemic, but you kind of had to be on your toes in supporting small business. So we had a campaign that was initially encapsulated under Support Easton. So, you know, different corporations came together and actually helped us package microgrants for businesses that needed help. And then there were different elements of that. You know, we had a curbside first campaign so that our restaurant community was getting the full revenue from takeout. You know, with some of these mm-hmm. delivery services, they take a huge percentage. And, you know, that obviously eats into the bottom line. So the restaurants came to us with this idea of, you know, can we promote, you know, curbside pickup as opposed to, you know, using some of the unnamed delivery companies.
Yeah. You guys did a beautiful job with it, by the way.
It was really impactful, really successful, and brought the business community together during a very difficult time. And I think added some resilience to the restaurant community downtown. I think, you know, different cities emerged from the pandemic with more scars than others. And, you know, I think Easton is in a strong place and didn't necessarily have huge steps back due to the pandemic because of some of the work we did. Another campaign, I think I mentioned Ferry Street Fire Fund. That was a collaboration with the United Way where we were able to work with the 20 or so families impacted by an urban row house fire that essentially wiped out most of a block. You know, that was a team effort with, like I said, the United Way, some of our local corporations, you know, BSI. Tony was one of the first people to give me a call and say, how can I help? Some anonymous giving actually tied to that as well, which is appreciated in the same way. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I think we've had some successful campaigns those are both emergency response campaigns. I think the more fun stuff is tied to how we market our events and how we market Easton's vibe and kind of leaning into Easton as a cool independent place. Its tagline, which we didn't create, it was created with the city and some outside consultants, is independent at heart. And so we try to lean into that as best we can. You know, there's the city slogan of keep Austin weird. there's kind of an Easton version of that, that like Estonians and longtime Easton people are kind of proud that Easton's is independent and not super corporate and has developed in a more organic way. So just trying to shine a light on those things, which make Easton a bit different and, you know, highlight our individuals that help make Easton interesting and vibrant.
So your work involves managing complexity, personalities, and pressures. What's been the biggest leadership lesson you've learned at GEDP?
I would say that the work is shared and the responsibility and accountability is shared. I'm a very sensitive person and also a very critical person, and sometimes would apply that to myself, sometimes unfairly. And I think it cuts both ways. When you have wins, they're shared wins. When you have defeats, they're shared defeats. And I think you have to give yourself a break and your team a break. And so this, you know, passion to make Easton better can be a pursuit of sometimes some aspirational or even unreasonable goals. And it's okay to have those goals, but it's also okay to understand that, you know, external factors, headwinds, you know, unexpected challenges are going to affect you and the team. So I think that's part of it. I think there's also, you know, something I referenced earlier is, you know, just, yeah, being mindful that it's not, you don't always have to be forward looking. You know, there are times to kind of pause and reflect and even look back a bit. You know, we're going through, I think, some work on defining our culture, defining our cultural values at GDP, which will also help mm-hmm. in certain conversations around, you know, how decisions get made, how the work gets done, how you share and all these kind of things together. And, you know, we might not paint them on the wall, but I think having kind of shared values is an important part of doing the work together.
Mm-hmm. If you were mentoring the next generation of leaders, whether in nonprofits, business, or community work, what advice would you give them?
Get out there, you know, get the experience, do stuff. You know, the fear of failure can prevent you from doing anything that would actually allow you to have positive experiences to learn. It's okay to, in your own pursuit of opportunities, to maybe shoot for something that seems out of reach. And, you know, the journey can still be edifying or illuminating. And I think defeatism is a pretty terrible thing. Like if that's something that you dwell on, or the possibility of defeat being kind of in front of you. I think one thing that, like, look, I lived on the West Coast and Silicon Valley and San Francisco for 8 years. And, you know, the startup culture of it's okay to fail fast, learn. It's okay to take investment and do all the right things and not have it work out. I think there's a certain, you know, there's a set of cultural norms out there that I think we could benefit more from. It's not to, you know, take uncalculated risks or just ask or work with no risk aversion. But I do think that fear of defeat or fear of failure can really prevent people from putting themselves out there in real ways. You know, depending on the career path, there's also, like, you know, you should be talking to professionals in the field that you think you want to be in. Mm-hmm. You know, that was helpful for me when I was trying to figure out whether I wanted to go back to school or not. And I think some people were generous with their time that helped make that decision easier. You know, it's a huge investment to go back to most types of grad school. You know, when you're 18, you kind of, like, you're on a path and you're going to college and, you know, it's just what everyone's doing. But when you go to grad school, you're potentially taking on more significant personal debt. And not to say you shouldn't do it, but you should obviously take that into account, that, you know, that's going to be part of your life post-grad school, is dealing with that debt. So, yeah, I think some folks think they have to go to law school right after college. I don't think that's necessarily the best path. I mean, I think a couple of years of working after college is almost always a good thing.
Good idea, yeah. Your father, Eddie Mass, was both a professional basketball player for the New York Knicks and an entrepreneur. What lessons did you learn from him that influence how you lead today?
Yeah, this is a tough one. You know, my dad passed away when I was 13, so I didn't get, like, to become an adult with him. Mm-hmm. And so the lessons that I learned are, like, those early adolescent lessons. And some of them were on the basketball court. You know, I think resilience and toughness is something that means different things to different people. I think being a good teammate is something that obviously plays into athletics. And I would say that, you know, in the time that I had with him, he was really emphatic about being a good teammate, doing the right things for the right reasons, preparing. You know, most great athletes are really good on the preparation side. Mm-hmm. It's not just show up on game night, or you got to get your time in the gym. So I saw that with him, even in his, like, this is in his 40s, he's still playing pickup actively and trying to work on his game as a, you know, as an aging post-professional. He also ran a clinic, which I only got to go to one. It was called Beyond Basketball, and he did it with Charlie Rosen, who actually just passed away, big-time writer of basketball fiction and nonfiction, wrote a couple books with Phil Jackson, who also ran the same camp with my dad. So It was Phil, Charlie, and my dad, Eddie. And the idea of Beyond Basketball was, first of all, you're going up into, I think it was Hudson Valley-ish. It's called the Mega Institute, which is a camp for holistic studies. So a lot of yoga and, mm-hmm. you know, a vegetarian diet. And different things around mindfulness. Mm-hmm. And somehow these guys got to figure out how to play basketball for a week with other guys coming in to play with them because they were all former pros and noteworthy. So anyway, the idea beyond basketball is, first of all, there's camaraderie with your team. You got to figure out how to be a good teammate, how to work with them in the workspace, which is the court, also off the court. And then I think for me, just trying to like rethink what this meant to my dad, is that when you do clear out all of the distractions and the baggage, even on the court is what he was kind of getting at, is you get to a higher level of play and you're doing things, not necessarily intuitionally, but without hesitation. Your level of play with your teammates is higher. The anxiety is potentially removed from your play, and it's almost not even about sport at that point. It's about like this coming transcendent experience with people around you. So I do try to think about what, you know, like, I'm not playing basketball anymore in my life, unfortunately, but like, how do you get beyond the drudgery and with your team get into some shared flow state, which is not even like a real thing. Like, flow states, I think, are always talked about in a very personal sense. And, you know, how do you do better together because you're just clicking? So, like, again, hard to really talk about like business lessons or life lessons from my dad. A lot of what my dad taught me was, you know, trying to get a young kid to grow up. And I think the other thing that I just intuited is that anything that happened on the court, when they were done, they were all super competitive. When they unlaced their shoes, it was all about having a good time. So I guess the analogy to me is, you know, work hard, get the work done. There might be some tense moments. There might be some competitions within the competition that cause some, you know, disturbances on the court or in the workplace, but you got to get past it and move on with your lives. And the game and the work matters, but relating person to person is what it's all about in the end. And so I try to get past the competitive side of me and try to relate back to kind of the personal connection that you can have in the different things that you do in the workplace or outside the workplace.
Jared, you've shown us that community development is as much about heart as it is about strategy. From your academic roots at Lafayette and Cornell to your experiences in California to your leadership at GEDP, you've brought a thoughtful, dynamic, and deeply rooted vision to Easton's future. Your work reminds us that when you combine creativity, collaboration, and persistence, you can transform not just a downtown, but an entire community. Thank you for sharing your journey with us today and for showing us how leadership, legacy, and local pride can come together to blaze a trail. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.